Czech writer Milan Kundera has a new novel titled Immortality, but book critic John Leonard says this is not the author's most enduring work.
Milan Kundera writes this novel in front of our eyes, in a deck chair at a health club with a swimming pool on a Paris rooftop. He's showing off. He really wants to discuss the end of Europe, the end of history, and the end of culture. But to keep us turning his pages, he'll make up a story from chance encounters with enigmatic strangers and radio reports of anomalous events and imaginary conversations among the lofty likes of Goethe and Hemingway and snippets of books and shards of autobiography. Into this story, he interpolates little essays about journalism, sentimentality, coincidence, astrology, and phases of the erotic moon that turn out, of course, not to have been digressions at all. Everything fits inside with a satisfying snap, like the hasp on a jewelry box or the folding of a fan. Left in the air, like smoke, are ghosts and grace notes. There is Paul, a lawyer who drinks and despairs. There is Paul's wife, Agnes, a computer expert who leaves Paris for Switzerland because she has decided she doesn't love Paul anymore, or not enough. There is Agnes's sister, Laura, an haute couture shopkeeper who thinks she loves Paul and so plays Mahler on a white piano and collects money for African lepers in the Paris metro system. There is Professor Avenarius, a friend of Kundera's, who's falsely accused of rape. And there is Rubens, the Don Juan obligatory in any Kundera novel, who strolls with a mysterious Gothic maiden in a park among what the novelist calls the severed heads of the famous dead. All these characters are unhappy because God is dead, and neither sex nor politics will guarantee them a life ever after. In all of European culture, there are only 50 or so geniuses who will deserve remembering after they are dead. Paul, Agnes, Laura, Rubens, and Avenarius are not among these happy few. Linear time, romantic poetry, modern art, the idea of progress, revolution, and nostalgia have let them down. They're short on meaning and being. Class inequality, we are told, is but an insignificant shortcoming compared to this insulting metaphysical inequality. Not even their unhappiness is original. They have borrowed it, like their gestures, from Goethe, Beethoven, and Napoleon, from Cervantes and Shakespeare. So much high culture, and what has it got us? Auschwitz and the Gulag. I won't tell you what happens next, except there's a surprise death. I will say we've been here before, in previous Kunderas. He told us in Laughable Loves that sex is powerless against socialism, and in Life as Elsewhere that poets will always sacrifice shop girls for the good opinion of the revolution, and in The Farewell Party that Western civilization, based on the individual and his reason, has come to a violent end, and in the Book of Laughter and Forgetting that cultural progress is no longer possible, and in the unbearable lightness of being that the horror of history signifies nothing. What's missing in immortality is the radiance of Czechoslovakia. After 20 years in exile, place is irrelevant to Kundera. Immortality, however witty and often dazzling, is a deracinated novel, a sacred monster ego, one of those severed heads of the famous dead. It seems to float on the water, in the air, trailing its nerve strings like cut cables, as if Kundera were saying, "I am the 51st genius, an immortal artist." Back in Prague, of course, history went on without him. He jumped ship before it set sail into a new meaning and a new being.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Immortality by Milan Kundera.